Okay. Can you summarize what you said?
I think at the point when the tape ran out, Carl, we were, I think, turning to look at the kind of impact I think you had as the chief executive officer here, in sort of turning attention away from the old Oyster Bay squabbles and getting us to look more directly at what our future mission as an institution was, and to get us working toward that. I think I indicated a while ago.
Just a second. It's calling, Jim.
Again, on the our subject here that we're looking at right now is who amongst the leaders on campus impressed me. I was suggesting you in those early years had done so because of your facility in the face of much, well, there was a continuing rancor among some members of the faculty going back to the incidents at Oyster Bay. Your ability to draw old and new faculty, or at least a significant number of us, together and direct us toward what was to be our future mission, rather than allowing the old battles to dominate our concerns. Looking back through the perspective of the years of the late 60s and 70s, when we had so much turmoil and incivility here on this campus, you did it in those early years always with, I think the thing that struck me about you, Carl, was you did it with civility and always the gentleman. In later years, we saw a lot of rather ungentlemanly conduct on campus here, and looking back through it, I think that was a great strength. I'm sure you were sorely tried at times by one faction or another, but always I thought that a source of your strength were your gentlemanly and disinterested qualities in dealing with the problem.
Well, as I said, I was not a party to the situation in Oyster Bay, and I refused to take sides with people who wanted to keep the friction going. It was counterproductive, and
yes,
fortunately,
yes.
There was a large group of the faculty that wanted to get on with the job. Building the institution,
and that
Oyster Bay behind it.
Yeah, and that group was constantly being augmented by
right.
New faculty coming in to whom the Oyster Bay affair meant little or nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So, but still, that had to be blended and brought together. That kind of new consensus about our future, and I think you had a major hand in.
I look back on it with a certain amount of satisfaction. Yeah. Anybody else? You mentioned Sidney.
Yes, I think too. I mentioned Sidney Gelber as having impressed me during this would be during the early period of student demonstrations and protest here in the later 60s. The right after the first round of student protest, now I can't recall, I know for a fact that the first student demonstration on campus here, and I think it was in 1967, spring of 67, late winter of 67, had nothing to do with politics, but it had to do with the state of the campus, the physical condition, and particularly a major item of student concern was that the whole outside lighting system was not dependable and constantly failing.
A certain amount of individual safety, particularly
yes,
for the girls.
There was concern about open and inadequately screened ditches and things of this sort. And then, wasn't it somewhere in this period that awful incident of the young man who fell in the
manhole? He thought
he
could jump across,
yeah,
across the manhole and fell into it.
Well, those tensions were beginning to build up over these issues. Then, of course, came the political dimension, Vietnam, and the whole assault on expertise and authority that followed from it. But I have a vivid recollection of a group of students and faculty and John Toll over here in what was then the old Humanities parking lot, stringing up temporary electric lines so that the lights in that parking lot would shine at night. And
we were keeping school on a construction site.
Yes.
Which Albany never had to face, because their buildings were built on the golf course, while school was being kept farther downtown.
The old campus. Yeah.
The old campus.
Yeah.
So we had hard hats, who were the construction people.
yes, I recall.
Who were patriotic individuals when
yeah.
it came to the Vietnam War, and students who for whom they had little love.
Yes, yes, how well I recall that. But in those early and difficult times, I thought Sidney Gelber handled himself particularly well in trying to rebuild what was a crumbling kind of a sense of community amongst administration, right, faculty, and students here.
Well, I think Alec Pond handled himself well in dealing sometimes with students.
Yes, yes.
And there was Max Dresden, who also was not afraid to get up and talk to students and tell them where to get off.
Well, I recall numerous occasions when Max took the podium to address, a role I'm sure he has relished over the years as an orator of sorts. I can remember when we still were small enough faculty that we met all together to help govern the faculty in the years before we devised the representative faculty senate system for this business. But Max certainly one of the more outspoken members of our faculty senate over those years.
You were you in the faculty when I introduced John Toll?
I have no direct recollection. I must have been. Because in those years, we were a small enough group to begin with, but we were quite faithful in our attendance at faculty meetings. I think when many faculty here began to sour on the faculty meetings was when they were continually being disrupted by demonstrators, students, and faculty marching about with the Viet Cong flag. You remember that, Carl, I'm sure.
Yes, we couldn't keep the ivory tower isolated from the social, political,
the outside world, yeah.
Conflicts.
Yeah. And it was hard for those of us who'd come out of a background where the ivory tower had meant something positive and attractive. To encounter the new and freer and easier age. Now, I do regard as one of the great benefits of that time of troubles the new casualness in dress. I haven't worn a starched white shirt and starched collar in a long, long time, and I used to regularly undergo that. that torture in the classroom.
With a tie, yes. Okay. Well, I think I've run out of questions.
All right.
Anything that you recollect for the good of the order?
I think we've pretty well canvassed it. I can't really think of anything more, Carl.
Who else in the department do you think I ought to interview? It's been, let's see, Bernie Semmel.
You have interviewed Bernard?
Yes.
This will tell me here, won't it? Semmel, have you interviewed Hugh Cleland?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That, in terms of giving you that perspective, they're probably the only other members of the department who have that.
What about Williams?
John Williams.
Was it John Williams? No, who was the... It wasn't John, was it?
There was, from the old...
I'm thinking, yeah.
Oyster Bay crowd, there was J. Williams.
J. Williams.
In the political science department.
Political science, that's right.
He's been long retired,
yes,
hasn't he?
Retired.
Yeah.
Don't know where he is.
Of that early group, Hugh Cleland, Bernard Semmel, myself, are the only ones really left. Tom Angris joined us, but he's retired and gone. Alan Wildman, of course, went off to Ohio State. Danny Gassman, the youngster in the department, left and turned to the city. Stanley's gone. And that was our department in those first years. I think you've got it in terms of that particular slant on the department.
If you could find out Tom Angris's address.
Okay, let me. Have you got a piece of scrap paper for me? I'll write a note to myself.
Not very.